Diving Deeper podcast.
Woo!
Woohoo! Yes. I am Danny Hernandez. I am the password deeper. You know, I didn't say that last time. Like, I introduced everybody in the first podcast. And not myself.
It's important to know who you are.
Exactly. So my name is Danny Hernandez. I am the Cuban. And I am the pastor over at Deeper. This is our episode on who would Jesus vote for. Mm. And I want to remind everybody again that you can send us your email at podcast@deeperfaith.org. Now, you can either send it to us like typing, you know, like most people do. You can either type an email or even the cooler thing.
An email?
What?
Can you voice?
Thank you, Heather. You can voice an email if you are technically savvy.
Also known as voicemail.
Does that not work?
No, but I don't know. Like
no.
Voicemail. Who are you going to call? Your cell phone? Hi. Her cell phone is. Feel free to leave a message.
That's true. Good
point. You can record your message on your computer. If you have a Mac, it's so easy.
I love Macs.
Anyways, you just record a message, and if we play it on our next episode, you get a free t-shirt. I'm laughing because we still don't have this t-shirt. We've been promising it for a month.
No, it's coming.
But it's coming. It's coming. So just send us an MP3 file of your comments or whatever it is that you want to say. And we'll play it, most likely, because nobody's calling. So it doesn't matter what you say. We'll probably play it.
We have room at this point.
We have room at this point, which is cool.
Way to sell ourselves,
we need,
guys.
Yeah.
No one's listening. Let's
please call.
Yeah, please call. You can either send us your regular email or the MP3. That is cool. Before we start, just want to let you know about a couple of things when it comes to Deeper, and that is that on March 21st and 22nd, we have our annual camping trip to Huntoon Island. Mm. Never been there, but it's an island. I guess you get ferried over on a pontoon boat.
Yep.
Which I was talking to somebody today. This has nothing to do with it.
So why is it not Pontoon Island?
Exactly. He was like, dude, why do you keep calling it Pontoon Island? I'm like, that's the name of it. He's like, no, it's Pontoon. I'm like, you're a moron.
It should be Pontoon.
It should be because you get ferried on a pontoon or
no vehicle.
The other side.
Huh.
No vehicles. No. So it'll be fun. So that's March 21st and 22nd. I don't think Adam will be there. But that's okay.
Doubt it.
Do we have to throw our cell phones
in
the river on the way in?
Why not?
I don't know.
I might be able to come. I think we're thinking about coming up actually.
Oh, cool,
Saturday.
Cool.
That'd be very
sweet.
Cool.
This afternoon.
We're going to be there with baby.
Well, then I'm there.
There you go. If the babies are there, Adam is there because he loves
is
babies.
Julie, is Julie going to be there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm not going unless Julie goes.
Randy, that's weird.
Hey, can we get going here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you guys talking
about?
But
I'll go, okay? I'll go.
Okay.
I'm there.
All right. Hush up, people. All right. April 6th, we have a service day. We are hooked up with a daycare that needs painting desperately, so we're going to hook up and paint that place. On April 6th, we'll let you know more.
Is it your house?
No, it's not my house, even though it looks like a daycare. Very funny, Julie. Ha, ha, ha.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm going to miss that.
What?
I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
Yeah, because Annette will be upset.
Huh?
Why are you going to miss?
I'll be in another country.
Oh, sure.
Doing what?
No excuses.
That's a pretty good excuse. Well,
things that I cannot say on camera.
Oh,
okay. Our next series begins on March 29, and that is a series on leaving. Leaving. I am leaving.
Already? You just got there.
Today. Living with integrity. Which leaving with integrity could be a different series.
It's my integrity, and I'm taking it with me.
Living with integrity. And it's on the life of Joseph, so it should be cool. That starts March 29. All right, I'm here again. I am Danny Hernandez, and I'm here with a crew plus one. No, plus two minus one.
Yes.
Like, Seba couldn't be here.
Isn't that just plus one then? Yeah. No.
Well, no, but it's like, you know, like last we introduced, you know, Seba, and he's not here, so it's minus one plus two.
Okay,
so
okay.
Seba couldn't be here, but I did talk to him. And I know that he promised that at the next podcast, we were going to show the neti pod in action. If you don't know what the neti pod is, you know, check out our earlier podcast so that you have an idea. And you definitely don't want to miss the next one because we'll actually have it live at that point.
Oh, cool.
This nasal drip thing, okay? That's what we're going to leave it at, okay? It's this neti pod. And we were supposed to show it here, but Seb is swamped with work, so he couldn't be here.
Let me tell you, that is going to be fun to watch.
Yes.
Want to tune in for my nasal drip.
So yeah, that would be cool.
Are we all going to do it?
So, next podcast.
But we're all going to do it? Are we getting like...
No, minutes? We're not going to... I'm not going to do it. You're going to do
it?
I don't know.
Well,
how much does it cost?
It doesn't cost anything because he'll bring it.
Well,
so
I'm not using that to be put in his nose.
Well, you can go first.
This is
we'll pick numbers.
Yeah,
no pun intended. We'll pick numbers.
So
number one.
Fantastic.
So bad.
Stop.
Why are we doing this podcast again?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have our regulars. Adam Heck.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Randy.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And then we have two lovely young ladies. Julie Clark.
Yay.
Who is engaged.
Yay.
Yay.
Even more.
And Heather McGray, who's married to Randy.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, yeah. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to get like an engagement like update.
Yeah.
Adam, tell us
yeah.
about what is going on.
Well, as of this taping, and many of you will watch this in a couple of days, I am 25 days away from getting married.
Amen.
We are really excited. We're doing a lot of. Any of you out there who are engaged or have been in the engagement process know the amount of work that goes into it, and I have done very little of it. my fiance is just a wonderful, wonderful woman who is working her tail off. So
she is.
I think all of you who are watching this should clap for her at your own time. And just say thank
you. Go ahead. Oh, that's nice, nice. All right, Julie, what's up? Since you're the woman doing all the work.
Well, yes, since Eric is in Oregon, he's not doing as much. it's about us now. Okay, anyways, let's see. Getting the invitations out this week. That's been crazy nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 58 days approximately, I think, to the wedding.
Nice.
So, man, I don't know. 58? Planning.
Here?
Getting
married here?
In Alachua.
Alachua.
That's 2 hours north.
2 hours north.
Near Gainesville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're good. So,
yeah. And Seba, who's also getting married, but he's not here to give an update, but I am sure he would be, like, completely clueless.
What's going on?
He's like, what is the wedding? Yeah, okay.
Hey,
hi, Andrea. I love you, baby.
I'll be there, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You do know he got his haircut, right?
No.
Yeah, he's like all quirky
exactly.
stuff now.
Man, Andrea is the happiest woman now.
She
is. Yeah, very good. All right, so that's it. Randy, what's up in Wisconsin? Give us the word from Wisconsin.
Oh, man, it's a sad day.
I don't know if I can talk about it just yet. 17 years ago, a new dawn aged in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The gunslinger from Mississippi showed up on our doorstep and yesterday he called quits.
Who's that?
None better known. Brett Favre.
Favre.
He's retiring.
Yeah. I actually heard that he might not retire.
He's retired. It's official.
Some of the reporters don't think it's going to actually happen.
No, it's going to happen. He's done.
He's done this a couple of years, hasn't
no,
he?
He's
like
never,
they,
he's
oh,
never
no,
said,
he said.
He's never said he's going to retire for sure.
He's
and he's never said
to join the Vikings.
He would say,
okay, here
we go. Oh!
I'm turning. Wait, people! That is wrong! No, not dreading. No. He's retiring. And so we are entering the Aaron Rodgers
era of the Packers.
So Wisconsin now will be famous only for cheese.
That's it.
Back to its origin.
Back to its
good.
Origin.
That's
good.
It.
You know, I did hear this morning that evidently, I bet you didn't know, there is a national cheese competition championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kidding.
Now, here's the bizarre thing. They've been doing it for 8 years.
Wow.
Okay, Wisconsin's only won it 4 times.
That's right. Well, it's obviously fixed.
But
obviously fixed.
But like a cheese competition.
Maybe the same state can't
probably did it for California,
I don't know.
Who knows? A little tofu?
Cheese is from Wisconsin. Something you don't get.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let's get started with this. Hey, today we're talking about who would Jesus vote for.
Sweet.
And so we actually, later on you'll get to hear some of it, and if you happen to just log on the podcast, you'll be able to actually watch. We're in Dallas for a few days, and we actually asked some people while we're in Dallas who Jesus would vote for. But we're going to get to that in a minute. One of the first things that I want to just kind of throw out at everybody is, does the Bible say anything about government?
Yes.
Like what?
Render under Caesar's what is Caesar's.
All right, so we should pay taxes. Yay!
That's a fun one.
That's good. What else does the Bible say? Anybody?
He gives kings thrones and he takes them away from the kings as well.
Okay.
Daniel 2:21, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
1 Peter 2:13 says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake."
Ah, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So there are some references in the Bible when it comes to government. Yeah. You know, so as we look at us as Christians, do we have any responsibilities as Christians when it comes to the government? I mean, or should we just like have like hands off, like, yeah, no, I don't want to have anything to do with it?
Oh, Adam, go for it. It's there. Do it.
No, I'm going to listen a little bit longer. I'm trying to formulate my opinion on it.
Well, I think that Jesus engaged, I mean, the political process, if you will, in his time, the Pharisees, the people that kind of set the pecking order, the people that made the rules, and, you know, he proved time and time again that, you know, probably our rules are not perfect, but they're at least a way that we at least have to be engaged in order if we want things to change or we want to see things that we feel. I mean, as Christians, I believe we're convicted by God that, you know, there is a certain way, there are certain things that we do. So if we want those to be reflected and let our viewpoint be known, then we have no choice.
All right. What do you think are our duties as Christians? Because I have some. I wrote down some. I'll be more than glad to just share them with you. But
I'm like, Adam, I'm trying to formulate in my head how to say it. You know, I have my own feelings about it. I think as Christians, we need to be involved in politics, especially in the country that we live in. You know, we have we have religious liberties. We have freedoms. And I think it's important that we are aware of what's going on in politics, how it affects us as Christians.
Right.
You know, an interesting question that I've heard that I've been reading about lately and that's been kind of batted around is that what kind of issues should Christians focus on in the election? You know, what should we focus on the candidate who is anti-abortion? Should we focus on the candidate who is pro-prayer in schools? Should we focus on the candidate who, what's the other big hot button issues for Christians nowadays? Abortion, prayer in schools, whatever. You know, but the one thing that I never hear said from a Christian perspective is that how we should vote or how we should, where our focus should be as in ministering to the poor. Mm-hmm. You never hear that a Christian should advocate for the poor. You know, and I wonder sometimes if we've got this whole idea wrong about how Christians should vote. You know, if in actuality as a Christian, you know, Jesus spent most of his time actually preaching on being a servant and giving to the poor. If that shouldn't be our bigger focus in how we should interact with government is to advocate for those who don't have anything.
Well, I think we have a voice, but I think as far as in American politics, you look at Christians are always or most of the time are put with the religious, so-called religious right, where you have, I mean, their main topics are what you already mentioned. I mean, it's abortion, it's, you know, it's these other issues that I don't necessarily know that. I mean, I think you'll find Christians that vacillate on the very issue.
Gay rights is the other one I'm thinking of.
Right, gay rights, I mean, all these different things. And I think while we each have our own personal that we can, I mean, I think it's good that we share ideas. I don't know that there's a need for a national platform that, you know, we're going to run on, you know, I'm anti-abortion and I think you're bad if you're not. And I don't know that there's a lot that gets accomplished with that other than just partisan bickering. But I think for me to tell you and say I might be pro-life, you might be pro-choice, and for us as Christians to talk about it, I think it leads us to questions, and I think that can help us even as we look at candidates and we look at the process to see where we might even look outside ourselves or our comfort zone sometimes.
You know, it's kind of interesting when you hear the word Christian and how they vote. You know, which party do you automatically think of that most Christians vote towards?
Republican.
Right. You know, and I just find that very, very ironic. You know, because I don't agree with all the policies of the Republican Party, and that because I'm a Christian, I'm expected to vote along the party lines, along the Republican Party. You know, or that's the perception that's given in the media that Christians vote Republican. Mm-hmm. You know, and I find that interesting.
Well, one thing that comes to mind is that I think that a lot of people end up not voting at all.
Right.
You know, what are some things you think? These are some of the issues why people don't vote? Maybe just...
I think people don't vote because they're uninformed. I think people look at it and say, you know what, I don't like anybody. I don't like McCain, I don't like Obama, I don't like Clinton. And my candidate is already out of the race, so that makes it, you know, and it's like, well, why should I bother voting? But there are enough issues, I think, that, and I'll give you mine. I think immigration is a big issue in this election cycle. I think overhauling the tax system is a huge issue. I think earmarks in government is a huge issue. And those are things that affect all of us because it affects how much our government spends, how much they collect from us in taxes, and what they do with the money. And if all that money, they're saying, you know, raise taxes because we need to fund programs, when in actuality, that's a very small part of what most of the money goes for. Most of it is for pork barrel spending and for just junk. So I think that there are issues no matter where you sit. You don't have to vote party. I have not voted party lines. I'm a registered Republican. And I voted non-Republican before because if the person that's their nominee doesn't fit my liking, I'm not afraid to vote the other side. And I don't really care if someone thinks that, well, you're a Christian, you can't vote. It doesn't really matter.
I think another thing that keeps people from voting is they feel like it's just one vote. I'm just one vote. I can't make a difference. You know? And I think that carries on into our lives, too. Well, I can't really make a difference. It's just me.
What do you tell somebody? It says, I'm not voting because it's just one vote. It doesn't make a difference.
I think you're spitting in the face of people that, for generations, weren't allowed to vote. I mean, there was a lot of people
women
weren't allowed to vote. You know, there was a time that, you know, it wasn't a right that everybody shared. And I think that so many people worked so hard to use that right that we've been given. And look around in other countries where people are persecuted and they have no way of changing the government. And it might be one vote, but look at the summer when they tried to pass the McCain-Kennedy immigration reform. I mean, the American people on both sides of the aisle stepped up and said, we don't want amnesty. And it got killed. And it got killed before it ever was put to a vote. So that's a case where, you know, maybe on social issues, that 80% or approximate thereof don't agree on much else, but they came together and agreed on one issue, and they put enough pressure on our political leaders, and it didn't happen. If that was in a socialist country, it wouldn't have even been asked. I mean, it just would have happened.
Hey, Saddam Hussein did. Hey, he held elections regularly.
Right.
For how long?
He kept winning, too.
He kept winning.
He
got every vote.
Yeah. He was a political juggernaut. Being
it's just amazing.
He's a really good speaker.
But here's the thing, too. If somebody doesn't vote, then they shouldn't complain.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
They shouldn't complain.
I absolutely agree.
Ever. About anything. Because if you don't vote, then basically you're saying you don't care.
Right.
Well, that's no different than going to church and saying, man, I hate the way they do song service. You know, maybe I can't sing or... No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying someone could...
But the word on the street is...
But the word on the street, we're talking to people. But, you know...
There are praise worship.
And I can sing... And I have the ability to help, but I'm just going to sit here and complain about it. I'm not going to actually do it because that would take up my time and my energies, and I'm not really willing to give. I don't think it's any different. If you want things to change, you have to be involved.
Yeah. Well, and that's the cool thing, that at least we're fortunate and blessed enough to be in this country where we, you know, a lot of people have died to give us the right, you know, to have the electoral process that we have right now. And so we're just going to throw it out and just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, who do we think Jesus would vote for? We were in Dallas, so we went and asked some people some questions about, you know, basically this, you know, same thing, who would Jesus vote for? And so we're going to play some of those for you right now so you can get an idea and get a chance to see what some people said. Okay? This first person is a Nikki, and Nikki is from Australia. And anyways, let's listen to what she says.
Hey, who do you think Jesus would vote for? Who would Jesus vote for?
Since I'm Australian and know nothing about American politics, very interesting question. Jesus would tell you that it doesn't matter who you vote for because God's in control of anything that's happening. And I really believe that whatever happens in the American government has been pre-planned years before, so it really doesn't matter who's in presidency per se, because it doesn't really matter.
Okay, so there's Nikki. She's saying it really doesn't matter.
Okay, but I'm confused. She also said it was because God was in control.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, does it not matter because God is in control, or does it not matter because everything is pre-planned Or is it a hybrid of both that I don't understand?
I don't know. What do you think?
Or are those both valid points?
There are some things that she did say, which I do agree with. The idea that we shouldn't vote because God is in control is kind of along the same lines as, I'm just going to jump off this bridge and God is going to save me.
Or I don't really need to pray because God already has
God
the answer.
Knows. I'm just going to, God's got it under control. I don't have to worry about him doing anything. It's almost a very lazy, at least from my perspective, a very lazy perspective. I do agree with the thought that we don't necessarily need to worry though, concern ourselves with those kind of things because I don't think God ever calls us to change governments. I don't think God ever calls us to have this huge movement, make Christianity this huge governmental movement. He calls us to work in our local and our small churches, and that's where our emphasis should be. So I agree with him in the fact that I don't really care who wins. You know, I just don't care. But I also do think it's important to vote. So.
What happens if we were a big movement?
We'd be back to the 1700s where we're persecuting people and killing them.
Yeah. Because
you wouldn't have that. That's really blunt, sorry. but seriously, if you look in the history, anytime the Christian church or anytime really any church has gotten a hold of the government and has tried to merge itself with the government, and it scares me when I hear people say that America is a Christian nation. It is not a Christian nation. America is far from a Christian nation. And when we try to make America a Christian nation as if it's this modern day Israel, it's God's country, it leads to destructive tendencies. It leads to persecution that we are doing on other people.
Well, I think it works both ways. I think as much as people will say that, I think the perceived persecution of us as a Christian on others, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of Christians out there actually physically hurting people. I think some of the rhetoric that is used is mentally hurting people. I don't know that I would say that it's... I mean, the country was obviously founded by Christians. I mean, the people that came looking for freedom of religion.
That's even debatable, too, because many of the people who were actually deists, so they had a form of Christianity, but not a full Christianity.
Well, right,
that we know
right.
Today.
I mean, that's... Right.
You know, I guess I see sometimes in the things that I see politically, I'm really taking this off the topic, I'm sorry. It's just a thought came in my head. It's almost this sense of forced morality. Like, we need to force our country to get back to family values, and force our country to get back to this, and that. And forced morality never works, you know. And so as a Christian, I don't personally worry about who's in government, you know. You take care of your small unit. You take care of those that you have in your immediate circle. You know, you try to convince others to do the same, and then it begins to spread that way. Rather than trying to put someone there at the top who's going to then force everyone below them to do the same things.
Yeah.
And kind of like what you said before, taking care of the poor.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
We need to be taking care of the poor versus...
Well, I think that's... I think that the point that you can... That I've always thought is that, you know, we talk about how, you know, we want to take care of the poor, and the government wants to take care of the poor, and, you know, we need to raise taxes, we need to have more programs, we need to help more people. Where I think that if Christians as a whole, as many as there are even in this country, were really out there doing, even in, just in pods in their communities, I just think that there really would need to be all of the other things that we have made into that don't really help people. I mean, so much of, you know, you have no respect, you have no self-respect if you don't have to work for what you have, or you have no meaning to in your life. And I think if there was, there's other ways to help people, and I think we missed the boat on that as Christians, that we could be doing so much more.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to somebody else here. I believe this is Jeff from Alabama. And from Alabama, this is what he had to say.
I'm Danny.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm asking people here, who would Jesus vote for? Who would Jesus vote for, Jeff?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
Ah, come on. Who would Jesus vote for?
Who would Jesus vote for?
Mm-hmm.
I know who I'm voting for.
Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for Barack.
Okay. Is that who you voted for? Have you had your primary yet?
I have, and I voted for him.
Okay.
I went and saw him.
Why?
Why?
Yes.
I heard he's a good speaker.
Fantastic.
Yeah?
He's got a hot wife, too.
Well, all right.
That's who I'm voting for.
Woo! I'm a good than Hillary's wife.
All right.
That's great.
Well, there you have it. He's a good speaker. He has a hot wife.
Honest. That generally makes it the best president.
I love it.
Huh? What do you think? You know, but I think that unfortunately a lot of times people end up voting just for the person that sounds the best
right.
on camera. You
or
know,
looks the best.
Or looks the best.
Versus what they stand for.
Well, I mean, how many times do people really go, I mean, Letterman did it during the last election cycle, asking people on the street, you know, who are you voting for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting for John Kerry, I'm voting for George Bush. Name one thing they've done in their past job, whether it was governor of Texas or Kerry as being a senator. Name one piece of legislation, name one position they take that you agree with that will somehow make your life better or life of your fellow American better. And there was this like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's like, so how do you make that decision without any information? And if you don't have information, then maybe you shouldn't vote.
Hmm.
That's my feeling.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other thoughts on that before we move
no.
to the next slide? Okay, there's not much to comment on Jeff.
It's just not unformed. I love you, Jeff.
But you know what? We'll talk about it once we get to the end. The next guy is Mike. And where's Mike from?
Ohio.
You know, Ohio?
Mike, England originally.
Mike, no, he's from South Africa.
Oh, right.
He's from South Africa. Here's Mike.
4 years from you mean in 08? Who would Jesus vote
yeah,
for?
Yeah, this fall.
Who would Jesus vote for?
I believe he would vote for the most loving candidate.
And who would that be?
Who would that be?
That, I think, remains to be seen. Currently, there are people saying things, by their fruits you shall know them. Yeah, and the love. Got to feel the love.
So we've narrowed it down to four people?
I think that's what it's doing.
Hey, Michael, have you had your primary yet?
We're about to. I hear we're going to have
Are you
going to
vote?
Ohio. You know, I was talking to my wife about that today, and I'm not sure that I will. Even though it's right across the street, I'm not
are you
sure
gonna,
I know enough.
Are you going to vote? Are you going to vote in the general election?
Yes, I think I will.
And who will you vote for at this juncture? If it was today, what would you vote for?
If it was today...
If you don't mind saying.
Wow, that is hard. It would probably be between McCain and Obama. I'd go down to two.
All right.
All right. Well, there
I
you
love
go.
Everyone.
What?
Over the love is for.
He's got to feel the love, you know?
Well, you know, he's got some point to that. I don't know how much.
Well, I don't think you have to have your mind made up by the primary.
Right.
I mean, if you go on just your gut at the primary and later on you change your mind as it gets pared down, because it's a lot more to
be learned, though.
Well, it's like you said, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
It's a lot to listen to. I mean, how many people
good
are
point.
That serious about politics that they, like, tune into the debates when there's, like, 8 and 10 people on each side?
I don't know. I watched Hillary and Obama the other day, and I couldn't hardly watch it. It was just so obnoxious.
What's obnoxious about it?
Hillary was obnoxious because she's going on. She's, like, just, yeah. beating up on Obama, and then Obama would come back and be like, I can't believe you said that, it's not my policy at all, and just shaking his head the entire time. Like, I don't have any interest in watching that, because you're not getting to the true issues. All you're doing is bickering over candidates
versus
talking
about.
Exactly. It's become like this amazing race for the president. And instead of like an actual presidential election, what we built our founding fathers built our country on, you know, it, now it's become some little big race.
And pretty soon,
they're
going to campaign for 4 years
yeah.
constantly. It's coming.
Yeah,
soon.
I don't know how they're getting money for it, but you know, whatever.
All right, here we go. Next person was Matt Gamble, and he's from Seattle.
All right,
this
yeah.
will be interesting.
Matt Gamble, this is very interesting.
Oh boy.
Who would Jesus vote for?
Oh my gosh. That is a good question. Adam Heck. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Adam
okay.
Heck, everybody.
Nice to
Adam Heck.
So, okay, I'm clapping for myself. This is great. So, any answer?
You mean... I did make something up.
Something else.
Have you had your primary yet?
Impromptu political survey.
We did, yeah.
Did you vote?
I did not.
Are you going to vote in the general election?
Yeah.
If the general election were held tomorrow, if you don't mind, who would you vote for?
Wait, let's just
honestly,
switch.
All right.
Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead.
Is he having
Am
a tough
gonna,
time like
I just wish I had other so. People's pulses. As Jeff over here is clicking pens nervously, waiting for my answer. Honestly speaking, like straight up, and this is strange for me because I'm not a huge guy in politics and wish you hadn't asked this question. but do I have something in my nose?
Here, let me check. Hold on, let me get a good angle.
Honestly, I even though I like, if I put it down on paper,
I've never seen him waffle.
Just say I am
by value, I am Republican. But by the values, I align myself. My values are more Republican than Democrat. But I would say at this point,
we're running out of battery.
That I would, when I was 13, I would say that at this point, Barack is it would be the guy that I would be going for right now.
Thank you.
It goes right back to what I was saying earlier about the whole values thing. I'm a value. I vote Republican. And I just find it. If I was a Democrat, I grew up Republican and all this stuff, and I don't know where I am right now. But why do the Republican Party have a stronghold on morality? That bothers me. That if I'm morally righteous, I have to vote Republican, or I have to agree with the. Why do the Republicans have the cornerstone of morality?
And then here, to me, is the perfect example of maybe just kind of like the waffling that we've taken a hold of in our in church in general, and that we're afraid to really commit to anything. And that, you know, the typical lines are like, I'm a Republican, really, by values. I'm not making fun of you, Matt, if you ever listen to this. You know, but it's like, you almost have to, before you talk politically, you have to say, I am a Republican by value, just so that you know I'm okay. However, you know.
Well, but part of it is, who are your friends? Are your friends people that you identify with, both morally and even things that you enjoy doing? So I think it's easy for people to do what Matt said and say, from a value standpoint, maybe I do find similarities between myself and that candidate, but I don't think that's a reason. But I want to quantify that by saying I don't think that's a reason to vote for someone just because they may or may not be a good person or a moral person. Everyone's still a sinner, so it doesn't. I mean, for me, that doesn't make any difference. It comes down to issues, but I think that's why sometimes people will feel that pull, because I think sometimes your moral compass will automatically pull you towards someone that maybe thinks on. Maybe some important issues that you feel morally the same as you.
All right, let's listen to. I believe this guy is Eddie, and he's from England.
Eddie Hepolite.
Eddie Hepolite. Let's see.
Okay, we're here at Ignition with Nick.
Nick Vance.
And Nick, we want to ask you a question: who would Jesus vote for?
If
Jesus were voting in a primary or the general election in 08, who would Jesus vote for?
Well, if Jesus were voting, he would care the character of the candidate. He would also care that the candidate has sound policies, not just for his election, but for the longevity of the country.
Okay. Have you had your primary yet?
Yes.
Did you vote?
I did.
Who did you vote for?
I voted for Ron Paul because I believe he has these qualities. He's consistent, his voting record shows it. He votes for freedom, unlike some of the people in the Patriot Act. And he is for small government. He wants to give people the freedom to do what they want to do. Ron Paul is my man. I think Ron Paul would be Jesus' man.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Who's that singing? Is that me?
I don't know who that was. It was, I think it was me.
It was you?
It's somebody. One of us was singing. trying to figure out who this guy was. And like, man, why is he so interested?
He was our one and only Ron Paul guy.
Yeah, Ron Paul.
Because that's like the election.
Right. the numbers are about the same. The numbers are about the same. Yes.
Didn't Ron Paul get one vote?
I think so.
Was? Okay, that was him. All right, very good. Any comments on that? I don't think so.
Nowhere to go. He actually seemed informed though about policies, which I will. You know, I think that's what it means.
And I'll give that to him. I think that of all the people we talked to, he's the only one that I think actually had given some thought to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was obviously Matt hadn't thought about it. You know, but at least this guy had put some thought into who he would vote for. Or at least who he thinks Jesus would vote for. All right, now I think this next clip is Eddie.
Okay.
Here we go. Are we ready for Eddie? Listen,
who do you think Jesus will vote for in this coming election?
In the United States.
I think that Jesus would vote independent. Jesus would vote for himself. I think Jesus would stand up as an independent candidate and say, like, listen, whatever. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Vote me. Back to the Father.
There you go.
And drink water because you know it makes sense. This is sponsored on behalf of the Father Party.
That was great.
Yeah, he's funny, but
great.
Kind of useless.
Yeah.
No.
Well.
Adam.
That is an interesting question. If Jesus were here, would he run?
I don't know.
Well, that's a whole nother.
Did he run?
Would he run an independent party?
Did he run in the Bible?
No.
He didn't run. He ran in a way.
But.
He walked a lot of places. But
right. Yeah, but
he mostly walked.
Yeah. You think of it as Jew and Gentile. He was a Jew and he stayed true to that.
Well, I just think it goes back to the fact that Jesus never sought power.
No.
His version of power and his version of leadership was one of servanthood and not one of trying to be an elected.
But the election is power of choice too.
It is, but I don't think Jesus ever sought to have authority.
The authority was already his. He didn't need to see it.
I agree with you.
But
I'm just
like,
playing.
I'm on camera.
You're playing the
devil down here. Sorry. I'm just
harassing him.
Well, he wasn't to set up anything, you know,
right.
Anything political here on Earth, you know.
Right.
So that was not his agenda.
His mission was different
than
politics.
But at the same time, I think Jesus exposed. I mean, Jesus was like the Channel 9 reporter that goes out under the guise of, you know, trying to find out what the, you know, something's not right. And he was constantly pointing out. He was constantly the guy that was saying, he was without fault, you know, throw the first stone, and and calling out the political system of his day for what it was, that it was not totally unlike what we have now, but there's a power of the few that seem to make the rules, and
it'd be interesting to think along those same lines. What I do think Jesus would do is that he would take the election and look at the candidates. And I think he would be the first person to actually say, let's look and see what's on the inside of these candidates, instead of just looking at what's on the outside. Not just what they say, not just what they do, but who they are on the inside.
So, yeah, it would be kind of like Jesus showing up at a debate and like writing stuff on the sand, about what
right.
was on the inside of Barack and Hillary. And I'm sure they both won, especially him. No, I'm just kidding. Right, this is a. This
he
is,
who
no,
not sin cast the first
it's,
vote.
Oh.
Ooh.
That is good.
The guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Julie.
All right. Hey, let me ask you a question as we wrap this up, real quick. Just your gut feeling. I'm going to start with you, Heather. I'm going to work all the way back over here to Randy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. yeah, I'll see you a bit later. Who do you think is going to win? Just. And why, if you can think of something.
I think Obama's gonna win.
Obama, okay.
I do.
All right.
And I think because of minority,
mm-hmm.
and because he's run a pretty clean campaign, I think.
Okay.
For the most part, and I think that's what people are looking for. All this nastiness, people are sick of it.
Okay.
So this is my gut.
All right. We got one for Obama over there, Julie.
Well, Hillary's kind of a minority, too, because it would be the first woman in the White House. But I'm feeling John McCain, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that Clinton and Obama are going to take each other down.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Oh, okay.
Good point. It's either, I can't make up my mind between Hillary or Ralph Nader.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Nader?
That's tough.
That's wrong election, buddy.
Joke.
No, he's in. He's back
no,
in.
He's in.
He's
getting steamed.
What do you think, Randy?
A couple weeks ago, I would have probably said Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Hillary cannot outrun her past, and
mm-hmm.
I think the once it's down to whoever makes the nomination, or if those two continue at neck and neck, picking up here and there, I think that's only hurting her chances. But I've changed my mind as of like 2 days ago, and I'm with Julie. I think McCain is going to pull out a squeaker in the end. Because I think he's already turned into, now I am trying to, I'm now preaching to the conservative base. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the time between now and November, he's going to convince us all what a wonderful conservative he is to get the core of the party, you know, behind him. And in a squeaker, he's going to pull it out.
I think that Obama's going to pull it on a squeaker just because we don't know much about him, and he's running on hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people are wanting to see what that looks like. They might not have an idea. He might not have a plan. But, you know, it's a weird generation that we're living in. That we're like, well, you know, sure, let's take a chance.
Why
let's
not?
See what happens.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because yeah,
I think that so many people are tired of hearing politicians say the same thing, you know, election after election after election. And when you have somebody like Obama that comes along and just preaches hope and just says, there's hope, there's hope. Even though he doesn't tell you anything, I think the people are like, well, he must have a plan. Cha-ching! You know, and they pull the lever. So,
the uninformed.
Exactly. Anyways. So,
ignorance is bliss.
In closing, here we go. I think that some of the things to keep in mind is that we need to make sure that we vote for principle over party. We talked about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that we vote for principle over money, because a lot of people make their decisions on, like, what's going to bring me the most money?
Right.
You know, who's going to cut taxes? Who's going to give me more? We've got to vote for principle over popularity. You know, just because everybody's voting, you know, Obama, doesn't mean that I have to go and vote, you know, that they're like, hey, that's a cool vote to have. And to vote principle over, you know, speech, whoever sounds good. We need to make sure that the lifestyle of these people matches, you know, the principles of the Bible. And I think that you know, that's kind of what we have to look at. So, any other thoughts and comments before we wrap this thing up?
As we close, I would like to say that I am voting for Fire for President in 08.
Fire for President. Very good. Hey, thank you for joining us on this podcast. Again, email us at podcast@deeperfaith.org. Or send us your MP3, and we'll be able to play it. And if we play it, you get this cool T-shirt.
It's so cool.
It's in my mind clear.
It's really clear. Concept is there. And also, don't forget to check out our next podcast, which is going to be April Fool's. So you got to hang out for that one, see what it is. So you might not have to believe anything we say at that point. All right, from our office here at Deeper Land, I am Danny, along with
Adam,
Julie,
Heather,
and Randy.
We are out.
Out.
Talking about voting?
Good.
Is that the major theme?
Yes.
Of voting?
Yes.
And we were talking about, what were we talking about?
Who
would Jesus vote for?
That's what we were talking about, actually.
We might have to, like, England and Jesus running. Okay, now let's see. I wonder if you can do a masterful editing job. We'll do again, and then I'll pick it up where I said it'd be kind of like Jesus showing up at a debate and writing on the sand.
Good evening again, this is Adam, and hi, what is your name?
My name is Dora. Dora, that is a lovely name, and I love what you've done with your eyeshadow today. It's very beautiful.
Thank you. I had to put it on very scantily because I'm a master comrade.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I have a question for you, Dora. Who would Jesus vote for?
To vote socialist because I'm a master comrade, you know, so I'd probably vote Democrat for that hunk of a man, Barack.
Oh, you are interested in Barack Obama.
Oh, yes, indeed. He's going to bring in the new millennium of greatness.
Well, that is very profound. I have a question. Where would I get such a lovely dress like this just to share with my wife-to-be?
Go down to your local thrift store, and I'm sure there's been a bunch of them thrown away over the years.
Okay.
They're not wearing them much anymore, but I kept mine. I kept mine prim and proper, I did.
You really did. It's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Well, Dora, may I give you a kiss?
Oh, you cheeky boy. Watch it now. Watch it. Please. Oh, you're messing up my do. Stop. No, Tom, please, no, please, no.
Gentlemen, this is the part that you're not going to have at the end of B-roll, okay, during the credits.